Joining me on this episode of the Neil Wilkins podcast is the founder and CEO of BizHack Academy, Mr. Dan Gretsch. Now, Dan is all about helping businesses grow without losing their soul in the process. And I love that phrase. Dan's journey has given him some really great insights and stories on everything from AI and marketing to navigating the metaverse and also making marketing more sustainable. Dan is a self-confessed storyteller, and I would say actually probably master storyteller. And we're going to hear a lot more about that as we get into this conversation. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you so much, Neil. It's a pleasure to be here.
I mean, that is a big kind of build up here, isn't it, really? I mean, there's a lot of accolades there, you know, master storyteller, you know, person who's at the cutting edge of, you know, the evolution of this new wave of marketing, and also being purpose-driven, you know, kind of driven by the right kinds of things, not just purely financial success. I mean, where to begin when there are so many exciting facets to both Dan, BizHack Academy, and also the kind of the right way to do marketing? Where would you naturally begin a conversation like this?
Yeah, I think first a little bit of a definition of terms, because storytelling, you know, one of the oldest arts can mean a lot of things, but I have a very particular meaning for it, and that'll provide a lot of context to what we're going to talk about. So when I talk about storytelling in the context of marketing, I specifically am thinking about it in terms of telling your business story. And the business story has really two components. One is the founder's story, the origin story. Why was the company started? And then the second is the core purpose, the ways in which, or the way in which the business is making the world a better place. So the origin story is really about the founder or founders and what was the founder trying to accomplish, or why did they start the company? What is their highly personal motivation for doing this? And often that story actually has its foundations in before they graduated from high school. So they were still, you know, adolescents, and these were lessons that they, you know, were imprinted on them, both positive and negative, by their family or their life circumstances. And almost every business, particularly small businesses, you can almost draw a straight line back to their upbringing, and very few business owners really are fully in touch with that. And it's an essential part of telling the story of their business, which is an essential part of building trust, which is the core thing you're trying to do with marketing. And telling that story of, you know, we call it the story of me, the story of why you do what you do, you know, what are your personal motivations for doing it, are not just the foundation of marketing and sales, but also the foundation of leadership and the foundation really of the business. And so we talk about that sort of solid foundation of the story of me, but ultimately it's not just about you, right? Like, you know, as they say in story brand and other methodologies, the hero is your client. So the other part of that is essential, which is the core purpose of the business. How does your work make the world a better place? Another way I like to think about it is, if you were to disappear, how would the world be worse off? And what is your unique contribution, and what are you trying to do that it will have an ultimate positive impact on the world? And so that is also really important, because you know, increasingly, especially with younger folks, at least here in the United States, companies, individuals want to be aligned with the values of the company. And they want to feel like they have a lot of choices in how they spend their money, and they want to feel like their money is being well spent, and that the larger purpose and mission of the company is aligned with their values. And the good news is most small businesses that I work with have a mission and a purpose that has a positive impact in the world. There are some businesses where it's really about raping and pillaging and, you know, making as much money on the backs of poor people and doing terrible things in the world. And And I, you know, personally don't work with those companies, but the truth is that it's rare that I find the small business where that's the case, because almost by definition, small businesses are really filling a need in the community. And if there's a need that you're filling, then you have a purpose that you're fulfilling.
I think it's wonderful, Dan, that you've kind of given those descriptions there without even starting to talk about product or service. It's all about the personal, isn't it, in this story that you're telling here. You know, you're crafting, and that's good, the quote that you said, this, how would the world be worse off if I was to disappear? And that's a real kind of heart-centered, really core focus that takes you right back to that almost profound moment, which is like, why am I here? Actually, what is the true value? It isn't the product I'm trying to sell you. It's not the service that I want you to buy. It's actually about the human. It's that human connection, isn't it? I mean, that is the heart of, you know, great storytelling, and always has been, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a human to human. You know, we talk about B2B and B2C, business to business, business to consumer, direct to consumer. We also talk a lot about tools. We're going to definitely be talking about AI and the metaverse and other ways that you can use to get to your audience more efficiently, more effectively. But in the end, it's a marketing and sales is a human to human interaction. People buy from people they like and trust. And storytelling is our fastest way to getting to a place of liking and trusting someone. And AI tools or digital marketing are just intermediaries between a human to human interaction. And this is lost. I mean, just this very simple and frankly, very obvious point around customer acquisition is a human service, is a human activity, is often lost in a lot of the marketing conversation and marketing training that's out there. And so we try to stand at BizTech in kind of opposition to the tools-based or channels-based approach to marketing. You know, I need to be on LinkedIn. What is the fastest approach to that? Or, you know, I got to use ChatGPT. So how do I use it? And the real question is, I have an audience that I need to serve. How do I best articulate the way I'm going to serve them and really fulfill a need, and then leverage tools like LinkedIn, channels like LinkedIn or tools like ChatGPT to serve them more efficiently, to message more effectively? And so we really ground all of our training and conversation in marketing around these concepts. Now, the one thing I'll quickly share is, obviously telling your story of me is really powerful, but it only represents about maximum 10% of your marketing communications. It's not like you're sitting there talking only about yourself. I don't want to give that impression, but that 10% is probably the most important 10% in establishing the trust, so that when you do talk about your product or service, you know, people are much more likely to believe that you'll actually deliver on it.
So that's kind of as almost if we were to build this out as layers of an onion, for example, this would be right at the center, wouldn't it? This would be that last kind of layer, but it's almost that you need to break into that core, because it's always going to be there. As you peel away all the other layers, those are almost the commodity parts of the story that you can interchangeably use. And as channels come and go, you can make different decisions. But that thing that's always there, as you say, it's the origin story, and it's kind of that real purpose and value that you're bringing. Those are the things that are right at the heart of it, isn't it? I suppose we call it the heart of things for a reason, don't we? It's kind of, it really is there. It's that heartbeat of everything that you do. I mean, do you find that people get this and understand it? Because I think to you and I, it just seems so obvious, and it's just kind of so real, and we can kind of believe this. But do you see a lot of people glazing over at that point, thinking, Dan, what are you talking about? I've got product to sell here. This is this number of dollars, and you can get it from here. And what's the complication here? What's all this purpose thing? Is it really complicated?
Well, people certainly make it complicated. You know, there are two metaphors that I use. You know, you talk about peeling of the onion. My two favorite metaphors to talk about the role that the business story plays in your overall business and marketing. The first is the foundation. You know, that invisible foundation of a building. And we actually call it the lead building system. And we have six pillars that we build on top of that foundation of your business story. But that is the foundation of your business. It's the foundation of your marketing and selling. It's the foundation of your communications with all of your stakeholders. And it's often therefore invisible. right? Because you do not see, when you look at a building, the foundation of the house. What you see is the roof and the walls and the windows, which are the channels and the audiences and the products. The second metaphor I like to use is a diamond. And I call it the communications diamond. And if you think about a diamond, there's the hard core of the diamond and then the facets that shine the light. And each of those facets are different audiences or channels, but the hard is that business story, the why you do what you do. And that's really helpful because I'm sure you've experienced this where, especially with a smaller business, where it's like their communications on Instagram and their communications and their on their YouTube channel and their communications on their website are like written by different people and as if they were different companies. And I say, well, that's because you haven't really defined what your business story is and then trained everyone on your team to tell that story. You want to make sure that you have, and it's very simple to do, but you want to have a really clearly defined business story, story of me and core purpose, and then make sure that whether you write it in 150 characters or across a blog or in a video, you're always calling on those values. Now, my experience is that small business, small, medium-sized businesses don't even attend to or value their story. And a lot of times I'll go to a small business website and it'll be depeopled where it'll say like about us and it won't even mention the founder. And I'm like, that is such a missed opportunity because so I have to convince people of this because I don't actually think this is a common practice. And I don't think many businesses do a particularly good job at this, which is why, you know, I make, you know, I run a training academy for small businesses, and it's why I'm in business, is because so few people actually seem to execute this at the level they can and should. But we have so many good examples that we're encountering all the time of businesses that do this really well, and we often feel really loyal to them, and yet we don't apply these same best practices to our own business. The way that I like to think about it is, as a small business, right, you have much richer and well-heeled competitors with much larger budgets and much better known brands. And your product, chances are, is a Me Too product, like somebody else has the exact same product and they're maybe just down the street. So then the question becomes, why go to you versus them, right? And one of the answers would be, you know, we offer better customer service. That's a very typical answer. But so does everybody. Everybody says they offer that great customer service. Another one might be, well, we're the lower priced option. And, you know, as most business owners know, that's a recipe for disaster. You don't want to be the lower priced option. That's not why you want people to work with you. There aren't that many other options besides your personal motivation and story, because that is 100% unique to you. The values that come out of that are unique to you. It is an immediate differentiator. The founder of the company and the reason that she or he founded that company is an immediate differentiator that you can use to distinguish yourself in a very crowded marketplace.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? I love that analogy of the example really of the about us, and it never is about us. It's just this generic thing that's been copied from, you know, maybe some template that the web designer actually used when they were actually creating the site, and it's just not personal. It's not added to. There's no kind of flavor there. And then, of course, everything becomes transactional rather than building the deeper relationship, which is the thing, obviously, that we want to be able to sustain over time. That's why we're trying to be in business here, yeah, to get the lifetime value from a customer. It's odd, though, isn't it, that so few people get that?
Yeah, lifetime value is a relationship. And the foundation of a relationship is, you know, liking and trusting someone and feeling like you and they are aligned. So Neil, let me, if you don't mind, you know, you've cultivated through your podcast and the great work that you do and the teaching that you do at Cambridge Marketing Academy, a large legion of fans and followers who are like-hearted and like-minded. And I'm curious, and maybe you've already shared this in the podcast, but why do you do it? Do you have a sense for why this work is your life's work? Why you're willing to put so much time and effort into this when, you know, there are probably moments when you're like, oh my God, this is taking so much time. I'm not seeing the ROI. What am I doing here? Do you have a sense for why you do this?
It's interesting because actually there's probably two parts that, thank you, Dan, for asking the question. It's just lovely sometimes to get, yeah, the microphone kind of pointed back in the direction of the host. It's lovely. So I appreciate that. I think in terms of the ROI, it's quite interesting because I think once you take the ROI out of the equation, exciting and interesting things happen. So for me on the podcast, I don't look to leverage the podcast at all. It's a little bit of philanthropy. It's a little bit of my time given back to engage with people like you to spread the good word of, you know, best practice and just really innovative ideas and just trying to move the whole game forward collectively as a marketing, entrepreneurial, business community, whatever you want to define it. So for me, it's just lovely being able to give back. I'm in the fortunate position. I don't have to leverage the podcast, but I could, but I choose not to, which is lovely. The other bit as well is, I think in terms of just the value added bit, is I think I've been very, very clear that almost a little bit of a marketing maverick in a sense of, I don't want to work from the old playbook. I want to be part of a small number of people. And I know this is going to resonate with you, Dan, who are kind of creating the new playbook, the one that includes AI, the one that includes purpose-driven, the one that includes sustainability, the one that's actually looking beyond that to things like metaverse and beyond. And actually being part of that community that aren't necessarily the smartest marketers, but where the most passionate. I can tell by the way that you talk, you've got that kind of that fire burning inside you, that's the kind of marketer you want to be. And so for me, that's kind of, I think, why this hooks in and resonates with so many people, is because I'm just, by doing this and not looking to leverage it, I'm tapping in and getting the people like you onto the podcast to be able to share a similar kind of story. So I think that's kind of where I'm coming from with this.
Yeah. So do I have permission to turn the tables and ask you?
Please do. Yeah, this is fun. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I think we're going to get somewhere interesting and maybe a place that's a little new for your audience with you here. And I don't know, because I haven't listened. I've listened to many, but not your full set of podcasts. But what you just said is, when you divorce an activity from a need and a requirement for it to be profit-making, amazing things happen. Because the alternative is, if you're like agitating about making money off this thing, it becomes apparent as the kind of the melody floating over the notes that's what you're up to, unless you're like a really good con artist. And so it ends up turning people off, right? So it has an almost opposite effect. And, you know, everybody knows, if you've ever tried to date, that when you are desperate and lonely, you date unsuccessfully and then unsuccessfully. And then what I've always found is, the second I like get a girlfriend, then suddenly like I have more dates and interests than I've ever had before. It's sort of like, by not wanting it is the best way to attract what you're looking for. And the way that I've thought about this is just sort of a certain pure-heartedness. If you just come with a attitude of giving, you're much more likely to get where you're wanting to go. You know, the things take a lot longer than you expect, especially if you hurry.
Do you have to trust that, because that's quite a leap of faith, isn't it, for a lot of people who kind of, maybe they've been, you know, from childhood they've been almost trained or told that you have to kind of set your target. So it's almost like you set the sat nav and then you're on this pathway, you work really hard, you've got to leverage every opportunity, make your connections, and kind of you're almost playing by the rules here. I think what you're saying is kind of just trust, have faith and belief that if you're doing the right thing, it'll work out anyway.
And I have two life experiences that reinforce this belief, because I think most people hearing this are like, yeah, that makes sense to me, but I need to make my revenue numbers because I have, you know, mouths to feed, my own and those of my staff. And the only times I've ever gotten in trouble, so to speak, or the only times I've ever failed in my business as a trainer is when I've gone into a presentation and oversold and really pushed too hard on something. And I don't get invited back. Nobody buys. It doesn't work. And I've had to learn that lesson the hard way because I payroll. So that's one is I have a lot of evidence in doing a lot of educational marketing that if you push too hard, it doesn't work. And the other side to that is during COVID, I was running an in-person training academy and COVID shut everything down and I had to cancel every class I had. I had to give back all of the money. And I was down to about 2 weeks, in terms of cash flow. I was staring down the having to let go of my team, having to stop paying myself. And I made a decision that if I was going to make it through, I was going to make it through with my team. And my team came to me and they said, Dan, what you know, which is marketing, digital marketing, is what the world needs right now. Like everybody has had to shut down and now they're going to a digital marketing space. We need to get out there and we need to share what we know. We need to do so without expectation. Right? Because everybody's freaking out. None of the relief money was there. Everybody was, in terrible distress. And so 2 weeks after the shutdown in COVID, BizHack started a weekly free masterclass series on marketing that we have continued now in a series of free webinars that are now going into our fourth year. We've won multiple national awards for the work. But even more importantly, it attracted so much goodwill that the year of COVID, we doubled in revenue. And I never asked for a thing. It attracted the Miami-Dade County, which is where we're based. We're in Miami, and they're now the sponsor of it. So we actually get paid to put these on. And as you said, it attracted all of these good things. But it was such a difficult decision to do that without charging for it, to do that without it being part of an upsell process, but rather to really attack an audience need and to just come through. And it's funny, since COVID has opened up, I've been back out, like I was at a conference this past week, and it is not infrequent where people will come up to me and just say, thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing. It is noticed and appreciated. I was invited to speak in Congress in December about small businesses and their needs. And it's a long game. And there have been ups and downs since then. We had another near-death experience that I can talk about. But I think the thing that I would say is I do believe it, and I much prefer living my life with the purity of intention because I just feel better about it. It's so much harder to go out and to try to sell in a sometimes awkward environment than to go out and try to help with a pure heart. And so it's just really been transformative for me. I have a lot of bugaboos with our industry, a lot of pet peeves with the educational marketing and the manipulative tactics and a lot of the growth hacks and a lot of what businesses, marketers do and marketers recommend other businesses do that are just really divorced, I think, from the human to human kind of heart-led approach that I advocate. And ultimately, it's not the fastest path.
It's not the fastest path, but it is just the way you've defined it that I will come 100% behind you there, Dan, and say to everybody listening, well, one, you've got to check the masterclasses out. There was one that I saw recently that you did, I think it was back in February, which was the journey of a keyword. And I just loved that. That was just a brilliant, brilliant little take. And again, it's the storytelling coming through, isn't it? But it was just the wonderful little journey of a keyword through various sort of stages of its life, its value to you, but kind of what it can do for you. At the same time, was how you can kind of work with it, coax it, nurture it, almost treat it as a little kind of baby that you're going to kind of, you know, breed into a, you know, sort of full grown sort of adult keyword. And it was just genius the way that was done. So people listen to, or put the links into the description for this episode, because you need to sign up for the masterclasses, everyone. They're really, really interesting, a different kind of take. But I just wanted to, again, just as you came, kind of gave me a little bit of a moment to, you know, to share some ideas. I just wanted to say thank you for your pivoting actually within, lockdown period, because I think for a lot of people that was a real kind of watershed moment. You were either sinking or you were swimming, and I think, you know, it was for those who were meant to be swimming at that stage, I think it was just such an empowering moment, and you clearly figured it out really quickly. And I think that probably just, I don't know, gives people a lot of hope, doesn't it, really, because the world needs this kind of attitude, doesn't it, right now?
I do think so. And I want to tell a little bit of a story about why I think I do this work and the way I do it. And then I want to invite you to share similar. So, you know, you shared with me kind of on a surface level, sort of some of your core values and why you do things the way you do them, you know, but you didn't share with me why you are built that way. And so I'll share with you, we're very aligned in terms of our values, but my story of why I am the way I am is going to be different than yours. And so I'll share mine and invite you to share yours. So I, my father's from Spain. He came to the United States as an immigrant when Spain was still a very poor country, no college degree. He had fallen in love with my mother, who's American, from Philadelphia. And she taught for 35 years in the Philadelphia public school system art to inner city students. So it was like an underdog subject to underdog students. On my father's side, it's all coaches. My grandfather was a coach in La Liga on my father's side, the Spanish National League. On my mother's side, it was all teachers. My grandfather on my mother's side was a school teacher at Central High School, the second oldest public high school in the United States. And so coaching and teaching has been just in my blood for multiple generations. And so when an opportunity came to start my own business, almost by some sort of multi-generational force of gravity, I was pulled into the coaching, training, consulting space. Now, the work I do as an entrepreneur and as a marketing trainer of small businesses looks very different on the face of it than being a soccer coach, professional soccer coach, or being an art teacher in inner city Philadelphia. But to me, it's all the same thing. And so I honor my grandfather's memory and their legacy in the work that I do. And it helped me during COVID and in later near-death experiences just push on through and be resilient. And it also is a story I tell all the time to my clients, to my staff, to my prospects, because I think it helps them understand why I do the work I do and why I do it. So Neil, I wonder, do you, first of all, now that you know that like little bit of story about me, what emotions does that arise in you? And then I would love to hear if there's any stories from your youth that you wanted to share about aligning, why you do what you do.
It's really interesting, actually, Dan, when you said, you were talking there about the kind of the impact of ancestral roots and the threads that either come through in your DNA or in the behaviors that you saw from previous kind of family members. It's a really interesting thing. I mean, the very first thing I thought of was my father, who's no longer with us, but he was very much somebody, he was in business, but he was very much somebody who was always looking at kind of the technology behind things. He was always fascinated by, you know, kind of radios, how they work, and he was in television, and he was in, you know, a whole kind of lot of tech products. Spent a lot of his career working with Toshiba, the Japanese firm, and basically working in a whole range of different kind of roles with them. And I guess every Friday evening when he used to come home, because he used to work away during the week, he used to come home and he would always bring a new product that hadn't yet been released. And I would always, you know, be waiting at the door for his arrival as a young boy, thinking, what's he brought home? And sometimes it would be a CCTV camera before they were even a thing, or it might be a really nice piece of, you know, hi-fi equipment or something like that back in the day when you couldn't actually take your whole music collection in the palm of your hand or in the pocket, you know, when these were actual products and items. And I can remember just being really fascinated by this emerging technology. And that, I think, has really kind of set the scene for me that it's okay not to keep looking backwards, but actually looking forwards. And I think my whole mindset, my whole kind of way of living is almost helping others to face forwards and think, this is coming. Trust me, we've seen the cycles before. This is coming. This is now emerging. Pay attention. Look here. Let me hold your hand and guide you into this space because this is going to be a thing. Trust me, it's going to be a thing. Let's figure out how we can then embed it in what we're doing now to improve what we do. And I think for me, this whole idea of helping emerging marketing. So either marketers who are new to marketing, help them to emerge, and or things like sustainability and AI, help that to emerge as well. So I think in a very long-winded way, I think I can really thank my father for kind of pointing me in the forward-facing direction with new things that are coming. And for me, it's exciting. I can just feel kind of my heart beating slightly faster as I retell this story because, yeah, it's kind of really part of me. And I think if we can all find what is it that brings out that emotion and that passion, that's kind of where our purpose comes from, isn't it? Really from the core.
Yeah. So it's a Friday evening and you're waiting for your dad to come home with the newest technology. That sounds a heck of a lot like dropping a podcast episode. Mm. And I wonder, have you ever connected that childhood experience on a Friday afternoon waiting for the latest and the greatest, the new technology and the loving guide to introduce you to it, to the podcast and the effort around that?
I just did 2 seconds earlier, Dan. As soon as you mentioned it. No, right? I've never made that connection, but there it is. Absolutely is. So thank you for I would never have spotted that. It is the uncertainty of, you know, meeting somebody brand new, thinking, okay, I think they're going to be a great guest on paper or on screen. They look like they're going to resonate, but I don't really know. So there's that uncertainty, that excitement of how are we going to actually work here? Do we have the chemistry? Are we going to actually be able to get into a conversation? Because I don't script this. I have no idea with my guests. I mentioned this to you earlier before the recording, is that I don't script any of this. It's always going to be a conversation. So sometimes there's a danger this is not going to work. But that's the exciting part of it, isn't it?
And what you are doing, whether you realized it or not, is you're recapturing that childhood excitement that your father gave you on a weekly basis. And it's sort of like, hey guys, check this out. And I don't quite know what it is or how it works, but I have a really great person here and we're going to just explore this together. And we're going to figure it out together. And it's interesting, right? Because now that you realize that you're honoring your father with every episode, it, you know, the stuff you talked about earlier, which is, you know, the desire to give and so forth, it just more deeply, first of all, explain why you're doing it. And it also made it more important that you continue to do it during those moments when you, your family, your business partners are asking you, like, why are you doing this? And now you have an answer that's almost unimpeachable, which is I'm doing this to honor my father and his memory. And I just can't not. And then, you know, you could ask yourself, like, what else am I doing that's aligned with that? And, you know, it's funny because, you know, what he did, which is, you know, bringing, you know, cutting edge electronics to his son, and what you are doing, which is doing a podcast for people on the West Coast of the United States about marketing, are actually the same thing, but they don't look, no, it's emotionally the same thing, but it's not on the surface of it obvious. But what's interesting is how quickly you made those connections. I barely asked the question. And this is like, this is like my life's work. Like I love these moments when you have someone who's open-hearted and open-minded, and you just ask them a few questions and purpose-driven. If they're, they have to be purpose-driven, because it, otherwise they have convinced themselves that, you know, money or status is going to get them something that's a hole inside of them. And those are folks I can't really work with very well. But if they're doing it for other reasons, reasons that are related to, like, they couldn't imagine themselves doing anything else. And frankly, most entrepreneurs find themselves in that bucket. It's such a gift to be able to just point out the thing that's been there the whole time.
And that really is a gift. I have to say, Dan, that was quite a profound moment. I've occasionally on this podcast, I've had the tables turned occasionally to, sort of towards me. And it's like, okay, bring it on. Come on, let's have some fun here. But I have to say, that was the most profound moment I've had. I had not, even though I kind of know this stuff, I had not and probably never would have made that connection between those Friday evenings and actually what I'm doing here, 400 and whatever it is episodes in. And it is that calling. It is that kind of feeling. It's not just a thought. It's a feeling that I'm in the right place. I'm absolutely in that sweet spot. And that's why it just feels so easy. It's so driven. I look forward to each and every episode genuinely, because it is just revisiting that emotion and time and time and time again. How hard, though? Because, I mean, I would never probably, unless you challenge me there, Dan, I would never have probably spotted it. So how can others kind of, apart from obviously subscribing to BizHack Academy and all the various courses, there's number one, but how can people kind of begin to self-reflect like this? Because I'm a real reflector and I hadn't spotted it. So somebody who isn't quite as, you know, powered by that kind of reflection piece, where do you begin?
There's a very simple exercise that we teach in our classes that I actually learned when I was a journalist. So my early career, I spent 20 years as a journalist. And I noticed that if I just keep asking the question, why, I would get better and better answers. Why does that matter? Why is that important to you? And it turns out that this is not like my individual discovery. Toyota pioneered something called root cause analysis, which was a series of a why chain, series of whys. Vern Harnish in the book Scaling Up also talked about this this exercise. So something that I kind of stumbled upon in my journalistic days and then started to use in my marketing training and consulting, it turns out is, you know, a big part of business. And I had no idea. And it's a series of questions around why. So why do you do this? Why is it important? Why does it matter? So, you know, you started with, as most of us do on the surface level, where, which is, you know, I don't do this for an ROI. I do this because I want to help. And so I said, well, you know, and I want to introduce people, you know, to new technology and discover it together. And so, you know, why is that important? And you might say, well, you know, in order for us to be relevant in marketing, we need to understand what the cutting edge. And why is it important that we be understand the, you know, the cutting edge? Why is it important that we keep up? And through that series of why is that important and why does that matter to you, we would have gotten to your dad. Oftentimes, like towards the, like once I start to like really get, like it's really critical for people to understand cutting edge technology and how it applies to them. And then I would ask something like, well, why do you need to be the person who's providing that to them? In other words, there's a million other people out there who could provide that. You've made it your life's mission to be that person. Why? And then the last question is, well, who taught you to value that? Or what early life experience did you have that taught you to value that? And I would say about 50% of the people I do this with, it's a sad or negative story. So their life's mission is to, their business and their meaning is often founded on a trauma that they're trying to spend the rest of their life fixing. So I'll give you an example of this, a very touching example. So I, and by the way you get into this is just like looking for something that's a little curious or different or out of the, you know, someone producing 400 podcast episodes is a remarkable thing. So asking why you do it is a really kind of obvious question. So there is a very close friend of mine who runs a mosquito, a pest control franchise, a franchise of mosquito control for outdoor mosquito spraying. And I live in Miami. It's mosquitoes are a scourge. They're here all year long. And like, I literally cannot think of a job I would want to do less than walking around outside and spraying for mosquitoes. So when I met this guy, and he's lovely, I said to him, you know, why are you, of all the franchises you could have picked, why did you pick mosquito, outdoor mosquito control? And he said, you know, well, I wanted to be a business owner and I like entrepreneurship and my dad was an entrepreneur and I wanted to be an entrepreneur and I was working in IT. I said, I know, but you had a choice. You chose this one. Why? And he said, well, he started to tell the story of his dad. He said, well, my dad, his name was Jose, and he ran a home construction business with two partners. He was an immigrant from Cuba, and they would fix and build people's homes. And what happened? Well, at age six, I was supposed to inherit the business from my dad. I would go on to all the work sites growing up and worked on the business. And then at age 16, my dad suddenly and unexpectedly died and cut out my part of the business that I was supposed to inherit. And so at age 16, not only did I lose my dad, but I lost my life's work and my profession. And then I went into IT, but it never really scratched that entrepreneurial itch. And so then I started this pest control company. And I said, do you realize that you're doing the same work that your dad did? You're creating a home that is safe and comfortable for people to live in. And you just saw him, like, the blow landed. And it's exactly with you. And then he said, you know, the franchise I run is called Mosquito Joe. My dad's name was Jose, but everyone knew him as Joe. These are not accidents, but they come as discoveries because we don't always fully understand why we do what we do. And I do feel like I have a special gift at this from all those years of being an investigative journalist. And I invite everyone who's on here to have a conversation, because it's very hard to see it unless someone else is like your mirror, and have someone who you love and trust ask you with curiosity, why do you do what you do? Why does it matter to you? And who taught you to value that? Or what life experience before you went to college, before you turned 18, led you to value that? And you will find a thread that will help you understand why you do what you do.
And I think one of the things, I'm going to reflect this back onto you with the mirror here then, Dan, because one of the things I think that you are exceptional at, I mean, we've not known each other for very long here, and yet we've gone into some quite deep psychological places here, really kind of sort of intimate little moments here. But one of the things that you are exceptional at, I mean, you're a very clear speaker, you're very eloquent, but you're an incredible active listener. You haven't missed a single detail of anything that I've said, either in the pre-show kind of chat that we had, or any of the little examples of the moments that I've shared here. You haven't missed a single detail. And I've been noting, actually, just mentally, the number of times you've replayed back stuff from earlier in the conversation. That's vital, though, isn't it, to do this? It's with real focus and being completely present. You can't do this and pay lip service to it, can you? You have to do this properly.
No, and, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I may as well have, you know, ADHD. I don't have it, but I'm very distractible. And it's gotten worse with the cell phone. But I have almost perfect recall for details of a story when I'm fully present and engaged. And it's incredible. Like, a lot of times, like, you got there actually very quickly. Like, most people just stick at that surface level where you started and just can't, like, it is almost impenetrable to get to that story of your father that you shared so eloquently. So kudos to you for going there so quickly. A lot of folks don't. They just don't know how to think in that way. But one of my other, you know, gifts is that when I do these as a consultation, I'm often able to, in the moment, re-articulate the story like I did with you in a way that gives the same story with different language. And I do that for two reasons. One, because it's quite remarkable to hear it reflected back at you. And two, it gives you language that you can then transcribe and use for your business. So you've said it one way, I said it another way. Take those transcripts, use ChatGPT because we got to talk about AI briefly, to smush them together into a nice little story. And now you have a piece of marketing content that I believe should be in every single digital platform you have, whether it's your social media bios, your About Us on all of your social channel, on all of your digital channels, and frankly should be a part, you know, of every sales conversation, every hiring conversation. You should definitely feel like you're telling this story often. It's probably the single most important piece of marketing content you have. And so I hope that my re-articulation of it gives you some more language that you can work from when you're sharpening this up. And going to ChatGPT and AI, I mean, by definition, ChatGPT cannot create this story for you. But what it can do, which is so valuable, is help you tell that story in a more concise and compelling way. And so that's the role I see AI in. Business owners really struggle with writing or don't have a good copywriter on hand, maybe can't afford you know, to hire someone like me to help them with this. And so that is like having a really good conversation with someone who you like and trust, having them dig in, ask you why, telling you what they see, looking for that sort of thread from previous to 18, taking that transcript and then leveraging ChatGPT to get a write-up of it that feels like accurate. And, you know, all of what I've said to you kind of summarize in my bio as, you know, Dan, you know, is a third generation coach and teacher who honors the legacy of his grandparents in the work that he does, right? So in most bios, that's all you'll see. But I do make sure to tell this story as often as I can because it is so powerful. And I did ask you a question that you didn't answer, which is how did it make you feel? Let me tell you how knowing your story made me feel about you. Whereas that first answer you gave me was good and it actually established that we have similar core values. It didn't really click for me until you told the story about your father. And what was interesting is I know now that the technology element of this and the future looking element of this is really important to you. Whereas for me, it's much more about accessibility and bringing to disadvantaged populations these tricks of the trade. So even though you and I share similar values and we run relatively similar businesses, the flavor that you put on it, which is more tech focused and forward looking, and the flavor I put on it, the spin I put on it, which is more make it simpler and accessible, especially to, you know, women and BIPOC folks, is a part of our specific. And so if you're really tech forward, Neil's your guy. If you're really you know, interested in just simplifying, I'm your guy. And that is the other benefit, is as similar as we are, we're attacking this differently because of and in alignment with our personal story.
And I think the thing, again, just to finally answer the question that you did say, and I completely forgot because I was reflecting back on my own story there. But when you asked the question, how did your story make me feel? Is that it was just, I was drawn in by the human element of it, the fact that you're celebrating, you know, third generation there, sort of ancestral kind of influence and sort of form, if you like. And that to me, just that whole pure human, we can talk tech and AI and everything else. But as soon as you started talking there about the depth of the human element behind you, that, I mean, honestly, you that's unbreakable. I mean, that really is. That is the bit that kind of gets you here as much as it gets you here. And that's important. And I think for me, that was the big part of the story, is like, there's a real human here. No matter how much tech and GPT and stuff is helping, there's a human at the core of this. And that's the key.
So yeah. It's exciting. Do you ever feel like your dad is watching?
I think he probably is now. Now he knows that's the part he's actually playing. I don't know. Maybe he was there sort of thinking he's going to get it at some point. At one point, a guy called Dan's going to enter his life unbeknown to him and is going to be on a podcast and he's going to hit it straight between the eyes and he'll get it then. I think so. Possibly. Yes, I think so. Yeah. I think that there's something a little bit deeper there. Yeah, I think you're right. Joking aside, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, well, it's like we're playing at something bigger than just making a living and even helping people, but we're kind of honoring our ancestry and living forward a legacy. And it's interesting, right? Because, you know, your dad was a diverse and multifaceted man like this. He might not even remember these Friday afternoons, right? I'm sure he does, but you know what I mean? Like what we pull out of our childhood, you know, are so personal and so specific, and those threads run through our whole lives, often invisibly. And it is a particular joy to leverage almost 30 years. It looks simple what I'm doing, but it's really a product of 30 years of work. I have a master's degree in storytelling, and it's just I have found such a joy of working with the entrepreneur. Just like I loved working with the journalist, because these are passionate, purpose-driven people. Now, they don't always see themselves that way, but there are so many living than starting your own business, and most businesses fail. So if you're in business for more than a few years, you have a level of grit and perseverance that cannot just simply be explained by a desire to have a freedom of schedule, or to make a little bit more money or not have to have a boss. You know, there's something deeper there. And once you tap into that, it actually, I think, is an unlocking mechanism to growth. And it really helps you make sure that, you know, what the business you're building fits you.
And I think that to me, that's the core of it, isn't it? Like you say, you can make the choices as to whether or not you want to set up a mosquito franchise or whatever it happens to be, but actually coming from something that is actually heartfelt and purpose-driven, that's the key, because there'll be something within that that can actually pay the bills as much as actually, you know, fulfill your life's purpose. And that, of course, for all of us is the ultimate thing. And you know, we're going to have to do a lot of self-reflection, a lot of, you know, heartfelt exploration. And as you said earlier, Dan, you know, getting somebody who's a trusted ally, either your partner or a close friend or somebody who will just sit there, listen, and then reflect back is clearly a great starting point. But I think for me, what I definitely want to be doing here, Dan, is advocating, you know, the great work that you're doing, getting people along to sort of watching some of these masterclasses and connecting with you. So is BizHack Academy the best place that they can connect with you?
Yeah, thank you so much for the honor of the invitation and your, you know, generous interview. So bizhack.com, bizhack.com is our website where all of our offerings, including the free masterclasses, can be found. If you want to specifically go to the registration page for masterclasses, it's just bizhack.com/MC for masterclass, MC. And then at BizHack Academy on all the social platforms, including on YouTube, where our recordings of our masterclasses can be found. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
I mean, honestly, Dan, it's just been, well, surprising, enlightening, and fascinating. Yeah, I've kind of certainly seen all of this in a very different light. And thank you so much as well for turning the microphone in my direction, because it's always interesting, I think, probably for the audience as well, to think, who's that guy in the black t-shirt? What does he kind of keep saying every time? I've listened to 420 whatever it is episodes, and I still don't really know him. I know all his guests. So thank you, Dan, for turning the tables. Now, it's been a really fascinating conversation, and I would, as I said earlier to everybody, I would certainly encourage you to get along and have a look at some of those masterclasses. They are going to blow you away. So Dan, thank you very much for all of your time and wisdom and energy today.
Thank you, Neil, and I'll leave you with a great quote. David Isay, a public radio producer, said that listening is an act of love.
That is just the most perfect ending to a podcast episode. Listening is an act of love. Thank you, Dan.
Take care.